I take my text tonight from the Book of Wisdom, which gives us one of the introits of the Christmas octave. When all things were in quiet silence, and the night was in the midst of her course, thy almighty word, O Lord, came down from heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When all things were in quiet silence. Silent night, holy night. You know that it was exactly 200 years ago this night that Silent Night was first sung after midnight mass in a little church in the mountains of Austria near Salzburg. It was composed by the priest, who was an assistant, who was celebrating the mass in that particular village. A friend of his, Franz Gruber, was so musically talented that he was able to set it to music at the request of the priest in just a couple of hours' time. And that was done, as we do things sometimes, at the last minute. And it was ready a few hours later. And after the midnight mass was sung, it was sort of a homey affair. They all stood around, the people in the choir, and they stood around the crib. And Father came out from the sacristy, and he played his guitar. You mustn't think that was something modernist. It was more the idea of traditional folk music. And he played his guitar, and the choir sang the tenor and the bass lines, and the people learned it almost immediately, and everyone who has ever heard it loved it since. Traditionally, at our church, we always sing the first verse in Latin, that being the language of the whole church and of the mass, and after that, then it's sung in German because that's the original language of Stille Nacht, a Silent Night, and that's a homage to the heritage of Cincinnati, which was German Catholic and very traditional, one of the reasons why our church is here in this queen city. And then after that, then of course it's sung in English. Note the words, the sequence, silence, silence, silent night, and then holy night. Silence sets the scene for holiness. I'm reminded of another hymn, which we always sing at our church on the first Sunday of Advent, at our Advent procession. It's called Our Lady's Expectation. It's written by Father Faber. We sing about a secret told by angels getting known upon the earth, the mother's expectation of Messiah's speedy birth. Well, there you have it, two things tonight, silence and secrets. Christmas is a time for silence, but secrets are for every day. For all the noise of Christmas, at heart, it is a silent night, and thus a holy night. This silence is its heart. Miss it, and you've missed Christmas. After all, it is his birthday, and he is born, an infant, in the manger, infant. That comes from the Latin, infans, not speaking, silent. And so, for all of the prayers and the preaching and the procession, for all of the touching carols and hymns, the proper and the common of the midnight mass and the bells and the organ, the mass is a silent affair. At Bethlehem, Nobody said anything. What could you say? Just angels, and they sang Gloria in excelsis Deo. So Bethlehem was a high mass. But quiet still, a silent night. This is the sweetness of our Mass, the true Mass. This is its secret, I think. Its rarity today only enhancing its value. Where else are you going to be able to worship in silence? As God descends upon the altar, as the great act draws near, the Sanctus angels silence us, and the prayers are whispered in the still or from behind the wall of sound, which is our fine choir. And only when we've gone far enough from the heart, the change, the consecration, the transubstantiation of bread and wine into body and blood of God, does the language again become audible. Thus do we imitate the silence of the holy night. Christmas, the beginning at Bethlehem, and Calvary, the close at the cross. Both were done, you know, in the dark. Oh, Jesus spoke from the cross, but only seven times his last words. We always meditate upon them during Lent. And so too, at every Mass, from the offertory, when the silence starts, to the communion, only seven times does the sacerdos, the priest, break the silence. One of the silent prayers, one of the many, is actually called the secret. For, like the rest, it is recited in a whisper. It is the original and the ancient offertory prayer said over the gifts that were separated and set apart from the rest for consecration. They were separated, and that's the word that gives us secret. In the Latin, it means something separated. In the early centuries, it meant the bread and the wine that would be used for the Mass as opposed to given to the poor or to the priests. Do you have something set apart, some secret over and above your offering tonight? Well, sure you do. This is Christ's Mass. You have plenty, he knows. You wouldn't want, however, to put them, those secrets, under a tree, even wrapped, or present them to the priest. Well, not in public. No, they're separate, probably safely hidden like gifts before the 25th. The big secret is that everybody's a sinner and sick with sin. And nobody talks about it. It's beyond human weakness. These illnesses of the spirit are idols, really. And often enough, like the Romans of old, they are our household gods. We live with them. Sensual pleasure, I'm thinking, spiritual pride, success and its perks, sports and its sacrifices, sometimes human, no longer play, but some terrible ritual unto the death. My own personal rewards program, I've earned it after all. Oh, and respectability, oh yes, and the price I pay each day to keep up my membership. These are your gods, O Israel, and I love them, or at least I fear them. Vote any one of them off my island? Who to choose? Oh, yes, God. I mean the formal one. You mean the baby with the birthday? Yes. Don't tell anybody, but for a baby, he can be a bit of a burden. I've been having a hard time fitting him in. I'm so busy, and it does get tiresome and expensive, too. Why, the price of gas. So what does he do, God's son? He steals in quietly this night when nobody's paying any attention because everyone's so busy with Christmas. Thomas Merton says, into this world, this demented inn, in which there is absolutely no room for him at all, Christ comes uninvited. Uninvited, but not unprepared. He has a plan, and the et in terra pax part, an unearth peace, which follows the first part about gloria in excelsis, glory to God upon high, peace to men of goodwill. With his peace plan, his redemption package, he returns each year just as we've been asking him to all these 4 weeks of Advent, to come and to save us. Never mind there's no room in the inn. Never mind there's no time for him. Never mind there's no quiet to take it in. There are wounds, and that's enough. And you, noisy gods, they did it to you, but they cannot help you. Not a one, but the infant. He's speechless, remember? But he is the only one who ultimately may calm us, find a beating heart still within, and fill it, satisfy it with himself. All of those other voices, he banishes. You know the voices that say, just one more drink, or fix, or gadget or gain, and I'm good. But I'm not. Take your secrets. They're probably peeking out of their wrapping in any case. Take the ones you guard carefully in silence. He knows about them, after all. The real secret of Christmas, you could say, is this. He comes to save you. And the wonder of it is, I've been thinking this week as I worked on this sermon, is that, well, it's no secret. It is done silently and silently, his work, the Savior's work. You know how it works. First, in the heart, with contrition, which is perfect without you being perfect, perfect just for its motive, its reason, the love of that God who loves us so, whom I have offended. And then, why then, it's off to Bethlehem's midnight cave. The silence and the dark of the confessional. Some of you have visited there lately. What a relief to leave it behind, my sins, that Santa's bag, heavy with all of my old idols. And the grace won. How to get it? Well, first, you have to go to Bethlehem, which is, of course, the house of bread. And never mind the Israelis have built a very high wall. You must climb Mount Calvary. Forget the almost 2,000 years which separate us from the crucifixion. They don't, not here, tonight, at Mass. The Mass, a secret so long hid, it's almost lost, like the Ark of the Covenant. The Mass makes present here and makes me to be there. The birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here, at the sacrifice, in the silence, among the whispered prayers and the half-caught gesture, in the twilight of the altar. It is done, and done for me. Jesus is born, and born for me. We are yet again born again in his blood. And he dies for us, this baby of 1 hour tonight. And this is the Mass, and it is something of silence. It is too tremendous for speech. But unlike your sins, it doesn't need, it mustn't be kept secret. The secret's been kept for almost 50 years. From most Catholics, even, and that is entirely too long. Oh, last of all, what is the secret tonight? Accept, O Lord, this day's festal offering, and in thy gracious bounty, grant that through this interchange of sacred gifts, we may grow to be like him in whom our human nature is made one with thine, who livest and reignest forever and ever. Amen. God bless you this Christmas.